먹이 그
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji and Mataji. There is a very kind request from Prabhuji that we all should actually come close to him and also face him. So we are actually sitting here, so please come closer so that we can face Prabhu. So please, all of you, please come closer, as close as possible.
Can I get that glass?
That's it.
That water glass. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, the opulence of the absolute,
verse number 9. Mat citta mat gata prana bodhyanta parasparam khatyantas cha maam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha.
Mat citta mat gata prana bodhyanta parasparam कथयन्तस्य माम् नित्यं तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च.
ओके, सो वी गो वन बाय वन, वन लाइन बाय वन. मच्चित्ता मद्गत प्राण,
मच्चित्ता मद्गत प्राण,
बोधयन्त परस्परम्,
बोधयन्त परस्परम्,
कथयन्तस्य माम् नित्यं,
कथयन्तस्य माम् नित्यं,
तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च,
तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च.
मच्चित्ता मद्गत प्राण,
मच्चित्ता मद्गत प्राण,
परस्परम्
बोधयन्ता परस्परम्,
कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम्,
कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम्,
तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च,
तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च.
मच्चित्तमद्गत प्राण,
मच्चित्ता मद्गत प्राण,
बोधयन्त परस्परम्,
बोधयन्ता परस्परम्,
कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम्,
कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम्,
तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च,
तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च.
मच्चिता मद्गता प्राणा,
मच्चिता मद्गता प्राणा,
बोधयन्ता परस्परम्,
बोधयन्ता परस्परम्,
कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम्,
कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम्,
तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च,
तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च. मच्चित्ता मद्गत प्राण,
बोधयन्त परस्परम्,
कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम्, तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च. मच्चित्ता मद्गत प्राण, बोधयन्ता परस्परम्,
कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम्,
तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च. मच्छिता मद्गता प्राणाम् बोधयन्ता परस्परम् कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम् तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च मर्चिता मद्गता प्राणाम् बोधयन्ता परस्परम् कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम् तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च मर्चिता मद्गता प्राणाम् बोधयन्ता परस्परम् कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम् तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च मर्चिता मद्गता प्राणा बोधयन्ता परस्परम् कथयन्तश्च माम् नित्यम् तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च
मच्चित्ता their minds fully engaged in me madgata prana
their lives devoted to me
bodhayanta
preaching
parasparam among themselves kathayanta
talking also
about me
nityam
perpetually
tushyanti
become pleased
cha
also
ramanti
enjoy transcendental bliss
cha
also Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Pure devotees, whose characteristics are mentioned here, engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing Him with other devotees. In the preliminary state of devotional service, they release the transcendental pleasure from the service itself. And in the mature stage, they are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can realize the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in His abode. Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. There are innumerable living entities travelling throughout the different planets of the universe, and out of them there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. This devotional service is just like a seed, and if it is sown in the heart of a living entity, and if he goes on hearing and chanting Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
that seed fructifies its Just as the seed of a tree fructifies it with regular watering, the spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters into the Brahma Jyoti effulgence in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky also that plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called Golok Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the planet takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as a plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruits, and the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. The plant of devotional service is fully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19. It is explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in love of God. Then he cannot leave even for a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord, just as a fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees, as stated in the Bhagavatam itself, 12.13.18. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yat Vaishwanam Priyam. In this narration there is nothing about material activities, economic development, sense gratification or liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and his devotees is fully described. Thus, the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures, just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association. Om Agyan Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Hilamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadhi Gauravata Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, verse number 9, translation. Matchita matgata prana bodhyanta parasparam kathyantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we are reading this chapter, The Opulence of the Absolute. Srimad Bhagavad Gita starts with Krishna explaining to Arjuna about ourselves. The first chapter in spiritual life is to know ourselves. Who am I? Even when children go to school, and once they learn to read and write and form sentences, they are given essay writing. What is the first essay they write? Myself. For myself, for me. Because that is the first thing we should learn. But in a school, that is the first wrong thing they learn. I am a boy, or I am a girl, I am in class 4, I am so and so, this is my school. But Bhagavad Gita says, I am a soul. Mother, why? not girl. I am part and parcel of Krishna. So the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita is that I am soul. And the first lesson in our education system itself is contradictory to Bhagavad Gita. So people remain ignorant though educated. Educated but no knowledge. So this soul comes from the spiritual world. I am not this body, I am soul. Then the question comes, from where does the soul come from? And we come from the spiritual world. The soul is part and parcel of Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Being Krishna's part and parcel, we have all the qualities which Krishna has, but in minute quantity. Whatever qualities he has, we also have, same. But the difference is that he has the quality in infinite quantity, and I have the same quality, but in minute quantity. Whatever we see in this world, or whatever qualities we see in various people, it all comes from Krishna. There is nothing in this world which is not from Krishna. That's not possible. He is the source of everything. Janma adi asya yatah. That is definition of God. That is definition of absolute truth. Janma adi asya yatah. This is the definition of absolute truth. It means one from whom everything emanates. Simple definition, but had a very profound meaning. One from whom everything emanates. He is source of everything. So if you see some beauty in this world, you should know that beauty is coming from Krishna. He is beautiful, extremely beautiful. Shyam Sundar, one of the name of Krishna is Shyam Sundar. Shyam means black. Sundar means beautiful. Shyam Sundar means blackish beauty. Krishna is black and also he is beautiful. It is a very big misconception people have that only white is beautiful. Black is not beautiful. But that's wrong. That's why in the market ladies purchase this creams, fair and lovely cream, that if I become fair, then I'll become lovely. If I become white, then I'll become beautiful. But that's not necessary. Even black is beautiful, even blue is beautiful. And the proof is Shyam. He is Shyam. He is black, but he is so beautiful. The whole universe gets attracted to Krishna. So if you see beauty anywhere, then we should know that beauty comes from Krishna. If we see strength anywhere, somebody is very strong, he can lift big weights, very powerful, then that strength comes from Krishna. If you see honesty somewhere, somebody is honest, then that honesty comes from Krishna. If you see a thief stealing, then that stealing comes from
Krishna.
Sure?
Yes.
Even that comes from Krishna. Otherwise, how will it exist here? He is makhan chor, butter thief. But the difference is when he steals, he is glorified. And if we steal, we are arrested, we are punished. But the stealing propensity comes from Krishna. If it is not present in Krishna, it will not be present anywhere else. because everything comes from Him.
So one of the quality which Krishna has is called Swarat. Swarat means independent, full independence, complete freedom. That's Krishna's quality. He is completely free to do anything, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. And we can't ask the question, why you did this? That is meaning of complete freedom. He is completely free to do anything. And nobody can challenge or ask a question, why did you do this? If you go and ask Krishna, why did you do this? He say, Meri Marzi, my wish, finish, full stop. That's Krishna, completely free, Swarat. Now, because we are His part and parcel, so we also have this Swarat. We also have this freedom, but in minute quantity, small quantity, we also have. Because we are His part. Why we have been given this freedom? What is the use of this freedom? We have been given this freedom to love Him. There is a relationship of love between Krishna and us, Krishna and living entities. And this love is based on this freedom. This love is based on this free will. Love cannot be forced. Krishna cannot force us to love Him. Even though He is all powerful, but He does not do that. Because if He forces us to love Him, will it be called love? No. If I take a gun and say, love me, will He love me by that gunpoint? He may say, I love you, but what will be going inside? That once the ghost goes away, then the gun goes away, I will see. Right? So on gun point, or if I can say on Sudarshan Chakra point, we can't love Krishna. Love cannot be forced. If it is forced, it is not called love. So Krishna gives us freedom. Why? To love Him. This glass doesn't have freedom. Matter does not love Him. But we conscious living entities have freedom. Which means we can make a choice. We can choose to love Krishna. Right? Freedom means we can choose not to love Krishna. This option is available. If this option is not available, then again it's forced. So Krishna has given a choice to love Him or not to love Him. He has given us a choice. So when we choose not to love Him, we stay in this material world. It is not a geographical, spiritual, material world. Few floors above spiritual world, few floors below material world. It's the consciousness of whether we love Krishna or not love Krishna. So Krishna gives us this material world so that we fulfill our propensities. Because we don't want to love Him, that means we have some other choices. To fulfill that, Krishna gives us this material world. Just for example, if a mother is cooking in the kitchen, her small daughter who is watching may develop a desire that, my dear mother, I will also cook. And the mother will say, look, you are very small, you cannot cook, you just play around in the hall. But she is jiddi, stubborn, no, I will also cook. Mother says, no, you can't cook. She says, no, I will cook. Will mother allow? No. He said, look, Bitiya, if you cook, either you will burn or food will get burned. And what is my loss? both is my loss, so you cannot cook. But if she continues to insist that I will cook, what will mother do? She will go to the market and get a toy kitchen and give to the gudiya. So you cook in this small kitchen. She will be happy. Mother has that old kitchen, I have a new kitchen, new gas, new bowls, new spoons, everything new, and she will cook her khichdi. After 2 hours she will say, mummy, nothing happened. Mother will say, don't worry, my cooking is done, come sit on my lap, I will feed you. Same thing we do with Krishna. We see Krishna enjoying Ras Leela, Krishna having 16,108 wives. So you say, Krishna, I will also enjoy like this. I will also marry 16,108 wives. Krishna say, look, you are small. You can't do it. He says, no, no, I will also do. Krishna says, look, you don't know. Even one is difficult. 16,000 is too much. Because we are minor. He's infinite. So even one is difficult. How you can marry 16,000? Say, no, no, I want to be like you. Center of attraction. Supreme controller. Supreme proprietor. Supreme enjoyer. Krishna is in the center of the spiritual world. So what does Krishna do? He gives us a toy. This material world is a toy. Go and make your khichdi. And since so many years, we all are making khichdi. Please raise your hands, whose khichdi is done by now. Nobody's. Nobody's desire have been fulfilled to become God, or like Him, to enjoy, to be master, to be controller. So now we have to realize that I have left my relationship with Krishna, my loving relationship with Krishna, by some miscalculation, and I have come in the material world. Now the only purpose of life should be go back to Krishna. Go back to cultivate that pure, loving relationship with Krishna. That is the only purpose of life. The purpose of life is not to earn wealth, to get a name, fame, position, big house, big car, and show to others. That's not purpose of life. The purpose of life is to go back to Krishna, to again develop our loving relationship with Krishna. Now how to fulfill this? So there is a process. There are many processes. Bhagavad Gita explains the most powerful process in Kali Yuga is Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti. Bhakti means devotional service, an activity meant to be done to please Krishna, to express our love to Krishna. That is called Bhakti. And Bhakti is done in association of devotees. If we want Bhakti, it can be obtained only from a person who has Bhakti. If I want an object, I can only get it from a person who owns that object. One who doesn't have that object, he can't give me. So if I want bhakti, who can give me bhakti? One who has bhakti. One who does not have bhakti, he cannot give me bhakti. So bhakti can be obtained only from those who have bhakti, and such personalities are called bhaktas, devotees. Please understand, Krishna cannot give you bhakti. Krishna cannot give you bhakti. Let me tell you one secret. Krishna is not Krishna conscious. Right? We always talk about Krishna consciousness. We become Krishna conscious. Krishna is not Krishna conscious. So how can he give you Krishna consciousness? is not his portfolio. Krishna consciousness can be obtained from one who is Krishna conscious. And Krishna is not Krishna conscious. Krishna's pure devotees are Krishna conscious. They can give us bhakti. So Krishna consciousness can be obtained only in the association of devotees. If anybody thinks I will manage alone, I will independently practice devotional service, why to again and again come in the association of devotees? Why to attend this program every week? Sometimes it's okay. Then you are an illusion. That is not the way to practice bhakti. If alone you are practicing Krishna consciousness, you are associating with yourself. You are associating with your own mind. Right? And let us be very honest. Are we good association or bad association?
Bad association.
Bad association.
Bad.
Ourselves. If I am associating with myself, will I grow? No, because to grow I need somebody superior to me, somebody better than me, then I will grow. So if I am associating with my own mind, do you think we will go back home back tomorrow? No. So association of devotees is must, is important. Even if you think same aarti is going to go, same kirtan is going to go, same lectures is going to go, and it's all going to be boring anyway, still it's better to be with devotees rather than alone. We should be with devotees. So Prabhupada started ISKCON so that we get association of devotees. Prabhupada could have started BBT, wrote books, printed books, and job done. BBT is very simple. ISKCON is a headache to manage such a big organization. The burden of love, it's not easy to manage a temple and do Mangala Arati and deity worship and devotees and finance and neighbors and so many issues. But why? Why such a big responsibility? So that those who want to practice devotional service, they get a forum. But yes, in this association of devotees, I can practice devotional service. Devotional service cannot be practiced alone. That's illusion. That's not possible. You heard of Bharat Maharaj? Bharat Maharaj, he is such a great emperor that because of his name, this planet is called Bharatvarsh. Now it's only India, but the whole planet was called Bharat. Before Bharat Maharaj, this planet was called Ajnabvarsh. Because of him, the name changed, he was so great. So one point of time he retired and went to the forest. And he was on a very high stage of bhakti called Bhav Bhakti. You heard of Bhav Bhakti? There are 9 stages of bhakti. You heard this? Shraddha, Sadhu Sandra, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhav, Prem. So he was on which platform? Bhav platform. Bharat Maharaj. So great, very great, extremely great. Bhav platform, almost on the door of Prema, which is the goal of life. And in that Bhav platform alone he was practicing bhakti. One day he went to the river to fetch water, and one she deer, doe, was drinking water and was pregnant. So somewhere in the forest, the lion made a loud noise, and the pregnant mother, she got afraid that a lion is coming nearby, and she jumped in the river. But she was so much in fear and anxiety that she, because of that shock, left her life and also delivered the baby. So she died and a small baby deer was left alone. Bharat Maharaj was standing. He saw all this. He thought this deer will die. Either will die in the water or the lion will come and eat. So he went and picked the deer out. So mother is not there, deer is alone. If I leave on the shore, the lion will eat. So he brought the deer on his kutia, started taking care of the deer. In few days, the deer became so dear that he stopped doing his chanting, his yajna, his puja. Early morning he'll wake up, find the deer, he'd feed the deer, play with him. Finally, the deer left him. That's natural, animals who like freedom. So he started searching for the deer, crying, and he died thinking of the deer. What happened next slide?
Deer.
He became deer. A devotee on Bhav Bhakti, who is about to get prema and go back home, back to Godhead, such a big failure, he became a deer. This all could have been easily avoided if he was not alone. Even if there was a new devotee there, this would not have happened. Because in association he would have chanted, he would have practiced bhakti, he would have continued his. Because in association you do both together. And the new devotee would say, "Hare Prabhu, what are you doing? Whole day playing with deer, you don't chant." Even a new devotee. He is on Bhav Bhakti. This fellow may be just on Shraddha, very junior, but this accident would not have happened. So even if you think alone I can manage better, my time is wasted together, but what happened with Bharat Maharaj can happen with any one of us. You can fall down if you are alone. Alone bhakti is not practiced. So we should be in association of devotees. And the association is obtained by such programs. So we should attend such programs every week. In fact, every day. Bhagavatam should be heard every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. You know that? You heard that shloka? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Have you ever heard weekly Bhagavata Sevaya? Or Friday Bhagavata Sevaya? Saptahik Bhagavata Sevaya? Or Kabhi Kabhi Bhagavata Sevaya? No, Nityam. Nityam means every day, eternal, every time, all the time. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So every time we should associate with him. We should participate in these programs. It's for our benefit. We get to chant, we get to dance, we get to hear, and there's nice prasad at the end. That's the full package. Even if sometimes we feel among the devotees the relationships are not great, the experiences is sometimes bitter, not so nice, but still we should associate with devotees. Better to be with a rude devotee than a polite non-devotee. Because at least we'll talk about Krishna. That doesn't mean there's a license to be harsh and rude. That we should not do. But everybody has that sabhav, which takes time to change. So even if there's a bitter experience, we should be with devotees, tolerating everything. We should know whatever distress or misery we get is not because of a person A or B around us. It's because of our previous karma. For example, if today 10 p.m. night, because of my previous karma, I am to get some pain. And if I am here, somebody may tell me something and I will feel hurt. If I am on the road, some car may hit me. If I am in the train, some passenger may hit me. If I am in the bathroom, I may slip on water. And say, who made this floor wet? The floor is daily wet, what is the big deal? Why did today I fall? I slip. Why? Because 10 p.m. my karma fructified. So whenever our karma fructifies, at that time we get hurt or pain. But karma will not come from air and give pain. It will use some person. And generally we are around whom? Around family members. We are not around strangers. Most of the time we are with whom? Family members. Or if you are attending programs, with devotees. So when our karma fructifies us, whoever is around us becomes an instrument. So if it's a family member, the family member will become instrument. If it's a devotee, the devotee will become instrument. And most of the time we are not with strangers whole day. So the probability that a stranger pain is giving us pain is less. The probability that a near and dear one is giving us pain is more. Because karma fructifies us and whoever is around us becomes instrument. So what should we do? We should tolerate. Knowing well, this is not the person who is giving me pain, but this is my karma who has become reason. The person has become reason, but it's my karma who has given me pain. This is called responsibility of pain. If we take responsibility of our own pain, tolerance will be very easy. And if I start tolerating, my spiritual growth is very fast. You heard humility is the first step of devotional service? You heard this? First step is humility. What is second step?
Tolerance.
By tolerance we grow very fast. But how can we tolerate if there is no pain? There has to be a pain, then only we will tolerate. If somebody gives me samosa or a rasgulla and I say I am tolerating it. How are you tolerating? There is no pain, you know, you are liking it. Right? Tolerance means there should be a pain. If there is no pain in life, is there tolerance? No. So from childhood we are taught to avoid pain. But that's not the way to live life. Even if pain comes, no problem. Even if pain comes, Krishna comes sometime. Most of the time Krishna comes in the package of pain. He doesn't come with ice cream and cake. He comes with the package of pain. So even if pain comes, it's not necessary to fight the pain. It's not necessary to struggle with the pain. Maybe the pain has come for my growth. In fact, every successful person you see in Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, Durva Maharaj, Draupadi, Pandavas, Vidura, Gajendra, any successful person you see in Bhagavatam, whether they had pain or not, they had pain. But why they are glorious? Because the way they responded to pain is not normal. So from childhood we are taught to avoid pain, but that's not the way to live life. What we have to do is we have to take responsibility of pain. That is my pain. It's because of me, so I have to tolerate. If I think it's because of him, then I will never tolerate. But if I know it's because of me, I will very easily tolerate. Tolerance is very easy when we take the responsibility. For example, if a small child is playing in the home, and while playing, a glass which breaks, not steel glass, valuable item, while playing breaks, falls on the floor and breaks. What will mother do?
Okay, clean up.
Before that? She will scold the child. How many times I told you to play out? Why are you playing here? See, you broke such a valuable item. She will scold. And the child will cry, become sad, and the mother will clean, continuing to scold for a few more times. Right? This normal response. Now let me tell you another event where mother is cleaning and dusting the house and the same material falls and breaks. What will mother do? Will she scold herself? No. Why? We never punish ourselves. We tolerate. If I know this glass was broken by somebody else, immediately my response will be anger and punishment, scolding. But if I know this glass was broken by me, there is no anger, there is no punishment, only tolerance. So if I get any pain in life, and I know it's me, it's because of me, the only response will be tolerance. If I get any pain in life and I think somebody else has to be blamed for this, the only response will be anger and punishment. So this is called responsibility of pain. Whatever loss, pain happens in my life is because of me. Not because of this. They are just instruments who are around me and they became instruments because the time has come. So if somebody takes responsibility of pain, somebody tolerates the pain and serves Krishna together doing both the thing, 100% he will inherit the kingdom of God. 100%. just by tolerating whatever happens, Krishna's mercy. Once Arjuna, he went to Krishna and he said, I want to talk to you about Subhadra. Who is Subhadra?
Sister.
Krishna's
sister.
Arjuna's wife. So Arjuna is Krishna's jijaji, brother-in-law. And imagine brother-in-law comes to brother of the wife and says, I want to talk to you about your wife. Matter is going to be serious. Right? So Arjuna goes to Krishna and says, I want to talk about Subhadra. So Arjuna said, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Abhimanyu, Subhadra's only son, young son, was killed. Right in front of him. Krishna was present in that battlefield. And Subhadra knows you are God, Supreme Personality of God. And if you wanted, you could have made sure that Abhimanyu is saved. If Abhimanyu was not killed, still the Mahabharata war would have won by Pandavas, no problem. Krishna could have managed it. Subhadra knows you are God, it's not impossible for you, everything is possible for you. And Subhadra knows you could have saved Abhimanyu. You are her brother, but you didn't save. And up till now, Subhadra's faith on you has not decreased. She has never complained. I appreciate Subhadra for that, Arjuna said. God's sister, her only son, dies in front of Krishna, and Krishna does not do anything, and she never complains. She never said, Krishna, why didn't you protect your own bhanja? You loved him. You could have saved him and still you could have won the Mahabharata war. Not a big deal for you. It's not impossible. It's possible. But she never complained. That is her faith. We should have that faith. But anything, mistake, any pain, any loss happens in our life, we think, Krishna didn't help me. Directly or indirectly, right? Or Krishna consciousness is not working, this association of devotees is useless, doesn't work. We think like that. But see Subhadra. Even Rukmini Mata, Krishna once told Rukmini Devi, he said, you remember? In the marriage of Anirudh, Krishna's one of the son got married. Balram and Rukmini's brother, Rukmi, they were playing chess, gambling. Just play, sports. Why? Because marriage was happening. Families came together. And they do that in marriages. And Balram lost. Few million gold coins he lost. Actually, Rukmi cheated. Balram won, but Rukmi cheated. So when Balram lost, Rukmi laughed. Balram got angry. He laughed over me, he took his gada, hit him, he died. right in marriage. Balram killed Rukmi. The marriage was Rukmi's daughter and Krishna's son. And Krishna was standing there. He could have told Balram, okay, let's settle this matter in a different way. He could have protected Rukmi. Wife's brother, but he didn't protect. And Krishna told Rukmini Devi later on that right in front of me, your brother got killed by my brother. And I didn't do anything. And up till now, you have not complained or spoken about it. By this silence, you have conquered me. Krishna told this to Rukmini Devi. She could have told her husband, no, why didn't you protect your brother in law? Why didn't you tell your elder brother? Or why didn't you intervene to settle the matter? But Krishna didn't intervene. He was sitting as a neutral party. Balram took up and killed Rukmi. But Rukmi Devi never spoke a word about this. Why she didn't spoke a word about this? She didn't wanted her relationship with Krishna to get strained. She never spoke. And Krishna said, because you never spoke, by your silence you have conquered me. So tolerating may be difficult because we think I am powerful, I can attack. Tolerating may be difficult, but what you don't know is that when you are tolerating, you are conquering him. And it's very cheap, cheap deal. Little pain you tolerate and you get Krishna. Very sasta mein mil gaya. Right? Millions of dollars of property if you get in $1. Very cheap deal. Right? If like this, I give you a box of 50 kg, lift it on your head and go walking to your house. Nobody will like it, right? Who will take so much? If I tell you it contains 50 kg gold, you say, where is one more box? That is painful, but what it is going to give you is much greater value. So by tolerating, painful, difficult, but what we are going to get is Krishna. So there is nothing wrong in tolerating. That doesn't mean people have license to abuse, exploit, manipulate or give trouble. That's not the question. We are not discussing the other side of the story. We are discussing how we should respond to life, how we should respond to experiences in life. Because such things, let us be practical, happen among family members, it happens among devotees also. Why such things happen with devotees, there is a reason to this. You know, when we practice Krishna consciousness, especially together, then Maya gets worried that a big army of devotees against her is being formed. If you are in a jail, alone trying to run out is much different than 20-30 people together trying to run out. The jailer will respond in a very, very aggressive way in the second case, when 20-30 people unite and together run out. Right? So practicing Krishna consciousness together means 20-30-40-100 people are together, each other's strength, trying to go against Maya. Right? So what will Maya do? Maya will attack more. But when Maya sees devotees, especially ISKCON devotees, very difficult to attack. Because Maya will bring cigarette in front of you, Maya will bring meat in front of you, Maya will bring a movie in front of you. Will we get attracted? And we don't eat onion garlic, forget meat and cigarette, will get attracted. So Maya's all tools, which is meat eating, intoxication, gambling, illicit sex, which is meat, fish, egg, cigarette, alcohol, liquor, drugs, tea, coffee, and gambling, lottery, casino, or boy and girl, outside marriage. All these are Maya's tools. They fail in front of ISKCON devotees. Four regulatory principles we are taught from beginning only. No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illness. So how will Maya win? So Maya has a different strategy. What strategy? She makes two devotees fight. So all their energies goes into their fighting, preaching movement doesn't continue, program fails, new devotees don't get attracted, they don't become devotees, and Maya wins. This is Maya's strategy to disturb our unity, to disturb our strength. Because if you are alone, it's very easy to get defeated. One sleep is sufficient. So getting up morning, chanting, Maya will give sleep and finish. But if you are together, you can't sleep. At least for image sake, you can't sleep. Right? Somebody will wake you up. So Maya thinks all these people are sitting together chanting 16 rounds. How will I attack them? Four regulative principles, I can't attack them through meat, cigarette, anything. Suppose imagine 20 devotees sitting Hare Krishna chanting. And Maya wants to attack. What will Maya do? Will anything work? Meat will not work. Gambling will not work, intoxication will not work, sleep also will not work, because one sleeps, another wakes up. Or one is cautious, oh, how can I sleep? I am a senior devotee. Right? If nobody is there, that's fine. So Maya doesn't know what to do, because we are united. So what does Maya do? She pushes one person against another person. Criticism, Vinda. Misunderstanding. Once faults are highlighted, faults everybody has. There is nobody who doesn't have. But that doesn't mean we have to advertise and make it a breaking news. Breaking news, today's fault. No, everybody has. So Maya, what does she do is, she makes such situations that we dislike devotees. We dislike their behavior, their nature. It's like that. Some are karela, some are mango, but all are required. All are devotees. Karela devotee, mango devotee, chewy devotee, sour devotee. Right? All are required in the society. Right? Krishna appreciates everybody's service. As long as we are surrendered to Krishna, this whole thing is fine. You know, if we go back home, back to Godhead, you'll be very surprised, very highly surprised, because you'll see those people whom you thought who should not be going, they are there. But this fellow, I never saw him chanting properly. And this fellow, he was never having Vaishnava etiquette. This fellow always came late for the program. How come he is here? And you know what? They all will be very surprised seeing you. We never thought he will come. Even insignificant service, even insignificant service, Krishna sees, oh, he did so much seva. So because we become familiar to each other, but compared to any outsider who is not a devotee, a very simple devotee doing even one small seva, from Krishna's angle is very big. So we should see from Krishna's angle. At the same time, I completely agree, we all need to improve in our life. So there are such programs, education, training, reading, chanting, senior devotee association, feedback, inputs will help us to improve. But we should always know, together we are united, we are strong. We are divided, not only we will fail, the project will fail. You know, there was a father who had six sons who were always fighting.
Yeah.
So he called them, gave them one stick, said, break, they all broke. Then he took six sticks, tied with a rope, gave them break. Nobody could break. Right? This is what applicable to every one of us in Kali Yuga. If we are together, Maya will not be able to break us. If you are alone, our great devotees we are, even on the level of Bharat Maharaj, somebody else will become dear to us. And then we will fail in our endeavor. So devotees should develop nice relationships. There are six exchanges, six loving exchanges we do among ourselves to develop nice relationships. Very simple, I think. You must have heard. You know six loving exchanges? Dadati, Patigranati. You heard all this?
No.
Nectar of Instruction, fourth verse. Oh, this is most basic book in Krishna consciousness. You all should study this. Six loving exchanges. First, giving gift. Second, accepting gift. Third, giving prasad. Fourth, accepting prasad. Fifth, sharing our heart confidentially. Sixth, hearing from somebody confidentially. If you do such exchanges with devotees, you develop priti, you will develop love. You meet a devotee, give them prasad. They give you prasad, you respectfully accept it. You give some gift, they give you some gift. You talk to them from your heart. They talk from their heart. That's all. These six things you do with any devotee, you develop love. This is very important to develop relationships. You invite devotees to your house, feed them prasad, give them some gift, talk to them. They will invite to their house, feed you prasad, give you a gift, talk to you. That's all. Very easy to develop love among each other. Just by these six things, we develop love. Eating prasadam together, serving to each other, sharing Krishna consciousness. Today I read this, what you read today? Right? And doing kirtan together, chanting, dancing together, coming together like this every week, and doing seva together. Just by doing this, we'll develop love. There may be misunderstanding, which will be cleared up. There may be somebody's misbehavior, which we need to talk about, which will also happen. But these are six loving exchanges. Any two devotees do this loving exchange, they develop love for each other. And Krishna is very pleased when we have nice relationships among ourselves. If two sons, best sons, both sons are very, very obedient to the father. Whatever the father says, the son does. But they fight whole day. Would the father be happy? Father doesn't want you to become best, just in your performance, and obedience. He also wants you to behave nicely with the others, sir. Right? So if I am the best player in the football, as soon as the ball comes to me, I put a goal. But I fight with all the teammates. Will they keep me in the team? No. Right? Say, good player, but not good person. So we develop nice relationships by the six loving exchanges. So I want you to do one little homework. You all have a pen and paper? You all have? If somebody doesn't have, can somebody give them a pen and paper? I would prefer a pen and paper, not typing on the mobile. Please keep your mobile as a distraction. Oh, pens will be less. Paper is easier. Some children here, anybody have pen, pencil? Extra.
Full page or half page?
Half is okay. Okay, everybody got?
Okay, can you take the mic bit closer to you?
Okay. Hare Krishna. So now, so you are writing a letter. You are writing a letter of invitation to one of the devotee to your house, whom you are going to give today after the program. Write an invitation letter to one of the devotees who is present in this room for a prasad in your house, whom you have to give this invitation today after the program. You getting me? Clear? Is my question clear?
Yes.
I know that husband and wife who may write different names, no problem. We have two invitations. You will also get invitation, so next month you will be busy, no problem. So you now select a name who is present in this room and write a letter to him. Please, Prabhuji, Mataji, we invite you for prasad at your house at a convenient date. Thank you very much. Fold it with the name, put it on your pocket. After the lecture is over, you go and give that invitation. Right? Somebody may receive more than one invitation. No problem. You receive okay. You go to their house. Next 1 month, 2 months you plan. Don't worry, I am not going to follow this up. It's up to you. This is how we develop relationships. At least you give invitation today. Please forgive me if somebody doesn't get an invitation. That doesn't mean nobody likes you. It just means because I told only one person to be invited. Only one person to be invited. That's why it happened. So here a husband and wife may be sitting who may end up writing names of some different candidate. That's fine. Later on we can do some permutation combination required. But just think of a name who is present here. Write the name to dear so and so. Please come to my house for prasadam. We'll be very happy with your family. Thank you very much. Your servant so and so. Fold this paper, put it in your pocket. Or keep it in your purse, whatever. Please take only 2 minutes. We'll have to continue further. If you think somebody in the room is such that your relationship with them is not going very great, please write that name. This is a chance for us to repair the situation. Hold it, put your pens down, we'll go to next exercise. I want to do one more exercise with all of you to develop good relationships. So you please give this to the person whom you have written the letter after the program. Then you discuss the date and time among yourselves. That's fine. Yeah, that's okay. This is not force. Out of your free will you do this. But this is love. Loving among devotees. Huh?
Can we invite you? Are you also on the list?
That's bonus pagar, not the main thing. I'll come as bonus. But main thing we are doing is exercise so that love among all those. Otherwise it may happen I'll have to eat too much. So many people will. So it's like that. Okay? So next thing is this exercise we'll do with a pair. Select one partner for yourself. Sit together. Whoever is nearby you. Huh? Sit in partner, sit in pairs. So what you do is, yeah, sit in pairs. A and B, two are there. A tells a pastime of Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to B, which B has never heard. If B says, oh, ye to mujhe pata hai, I know this, then A does second, third, fourth, till B says, yes, this is something new I have heard. A pastime or a small event part of the pastime is also okay. Like Govardhan Leela, everybody has heard, but there may be some small part of Govardhan Leela which the B must have, this I have never heard. So A tells a pastime to B which B has never heard. Once that is done, then B tells a pastime to A which A has never heard. This is called Bodhyanta Parasparam, which we just read. When devotees speak about Krishna to each other, they enliven each other. Is written in Bhagavad Gita. Is it true? Let us see it now. Let us speak about Krishna to each other and see whether we are getting enlivened or not. Okay? Bodhyanta Parasparam. Speak about Krishna to each other. So the criteria I added so that the speech continues. You tell thing which your partner has never heard. If he has heard, tell the second thing. And then change. Your partner says thing which you have never heard. Something new you learn today. So you start now. Who doesn't have one? Who doesn't have a partner? You have a partner? You want to sit with partner? Yeah, be someone.
छोटा
Feedback. Please don't tell what you heard or what you spoke.
Just tell the feeling, the experience when you were doing this exercise. You can raise your hands and express to us what was your feeling or experience when you're doing this exercise. Yes.
We learn something new about Krishna and it makes us happy and it makes us feel that, you know, there is something that I didn't know about Krishna so long and you are learning that from this movie and it makes you get closer to Krishna.
Yes. Right. So we become happy, we learn more. Yes. Yes.
We also understand that how people in their different homes reading different books of Prabhupada are actually learning different things and how it is making them happy and what they find is interesting and how they look at it.
Yes.
That is very nice because you might have read something else but someone has read something else. So they have.
Yeah, so we know it's not only me reading, others are also reading.
Reading,
and they are sharing because they are excited about it. Yes, nice, very nice. Next, anybody? Yeah.
It's very good. It's too happy for a new story for something in Krishna's part. And Prabhuji just is one story in a small story, but I didn't heard before. But it's very nice and happy.
You become happy, nice. Yes. Nice. Next,
Krishna's pastimes are unlimited. You can see.
Yes, Krishna's pastimes.
But Prabhuji has told me is a different way of the story. I never heard.
Okay,
and
nice.
I become really happy.
Yeah, nice. What else you felt while doing this exercise?
We ran short of time.
Ran short of time. Yeah, I couldn't give you much time. I apologize for that.
And we forget about everybody. We just concentrate on the last time.
So this is. Yes, sir.
But yes, we don't have to, you know, as he's saying, sorry, not. But it's other way, actually, we were so enjoying and we were so, you know, so much at home.
Yeah.
We just kept on.
So this is for enlivening. If you can get this right word. This is for enlivening. And please believe me. Please believe me when I say this. You have permission to do this anytime. Not only in this program. Anytime two devotees meet, just share about Krishna, you get enlivened. And even if there are some plus minus relationships, they will improve by this. Bodhyan, sir, paraspara, my devotees feel satisfied and enliven each other when they talk about me. This is Bhagavad Gita verse we just read. And this we can practically apply in our life. Two devotees meet, talk about Krishna, they both feel happy, they both feel joy, they both feel enlivened just by talking about Krishna. So this we need to do more and more, not just in the program, in a formal setting like this, not just on Friday. Anytime we two devotees meet, we talk about Krishna, we meet on phone or we meet personally, we talk on phone, we just talk about Krishna. Today I read this, do you know about this? And the person says, yes, I also know about this, this is something more. And that's enlivenment. This improves the relationship very much. This helps us in our Krishna consciousness very much. Our humility is developed, our false ego is vanished, and we become more better devotees. So this is how we should do more and more. Two devotees means, meet means they will talk about Krishna. That is the meaning of association of devotees. And by hearing like this regularly, we advance spiritually. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
If there are any questions or comments, we will take.
One question.
Yeah.
Because we are so manipulative in our mind, and with the way that we actually behave externally, we actually carry the same attitude although we are in the devotional service, right?
Mm.
And how do you actually try to overcome that problem within yourself in the first place?
So the more we become closer to devotees, the more we'll be a natural self rather than giving a perception. This is something which is very, very deep in us, that every time we want to show ourselves as something which we are not. a better devotee or a better person or a different person. Our natural self we try to not show because we think we will be not accepted, we will not be respected, what others will think. That happens. So the more we are closer to devotee, the more we will have less obstacles, less apprehensions to be our natural self. When we know this person is going to accept me, whatever I am, then we will be natural, we don't have to do a separate performance. So we should not just have shallow gatherings, social gatherings. We should have deeper relationships among devotees so that we naturally act naturally and there is no frustration, there is no gap. And people are accept and understand. And as devotees, we should accept others as they are. Not every time thinking if this person changes, then I'll become his friend. We just accept everybody as they are. Even Krishna accepts us as they are. We all are individuals. We have our own conditioning. Not easy to come out of conditioning. It may take years. But if we have acceptance and appreciation of service, then everybody grows. So as devotees, whoever comes in our contact, we accept them as they are. As I said, Kerala is also there, mango is also there. You don't think Kerala will chant 16 hours daily and become a mango one day. No, it has its own swabhav. Mango has its own swabhav. And we accept everybody as they are. So, devotee is broad-minded. Broad-minded means he accepts everybody. We have a prototype. All devotees should be like this. So anybody doesn't conform to that, equality is with him. Some deviation. No. Everybody should be like Prabhupada. No. Everybody should like Bhakti Siddhanta Swami. Why we have compassion? All tomatoes should be same, all potatoes should be same. No, they can be of different shapes, sizes, still they can be accepted. So all devotees should be same. That's impersonalism. You know, they have individuality. So that's fine. Okay? Any more questions? Yeah.
We got the independence, you say, to know Krishna. But only the human, like, you know, human form of life, we know how to love Krishna. But what about the other form of life?
The animals mostly work on their instinct. And Krishna incarnates in animal species also to elevate them. But humans have been given higher intelligence and higher responsibility to cultivate this relationship of love. So human form of life is the most suitable to achieve this purpose. Yes, ma'am.
Even Prabhuji, how you were saying that it is difficult to follow Krishna consciousness alone. Say in a life situation where we have to be independent and where there is a lack, we don't have a family surrounding immediately with us. And yes, we realize that Krishna is our company and He is always there with us. He is there in our heart. But, you know, even as we practice, there may be fluctuations and, you know, being humans, our emotions and everything. How do we best manage the situation?
So if we are alone, you are saying, alone is staying alone. So we do our regular duties, we read and do our bhakti, but again we come in this gathering and we get charged, we have relationship and friendship with devotees, we have emotional exchanges with devotees, have some nice Mataji friends, and we together practice Krishna consciousness. Right? So there may be challenges in such situation, but we associate with devotees and we sincerely practice our sadhana. So that will help us. Okay. Any more questions?
I have. If Krishna is not Krishna consciousness, he doesn't abide into that. What does he abide in?
He is?
What does he abide by?
He is devotee conscious. Krishna is thinking of his devotees.
Krishna doesn't apply.
He is not chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra all day. He is not thinking of himself whole day. He is not doing his aarti, his own aarti. He is not offering food to himself. He is thinking of the devotees and welfare of his people.
The welfare is what he is.
So the meaning was that as devotees practice a process, thinking of Krishna 24 hours, Krishna is not following a process to think of himself 24 hours.
She was in the prema stage, so bhava stage, and he fall down from the bhava stage. But now the next verse is our tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti. So Lord is saying, I am giving you the intelligence if you surrender unto me. So if the Bharat Maharaj has gone to the bhava stage, then how he fall down? Because Lord is saying, I will give you the intelligence to come to me. So,
such a difficult question you asked the next Friday, those who are giving class on the next verse. So Bharat Maharaj, even in the life of a deer, Krishna made him remember his past mistake. And in the deer life, he would think of Krishna. He would not play with other deers. He would just sit outside the hermitage of the sages, and whatever they will throw as prasad, he will eat. And very quickly he left the deer body and got a brahmana body, where he was always thinking of Krishna, and from there he went back home back to Godhead. So Bharat Maharaj, instead of going back home back to Godhead on his birth, he just took one more birth extra because of he got attached to deer, and finally he went back home back to Godhead. So the fall down is just a delay in going back home back to Godhead. He never forgot Krishna. His bhava bhakti didn't come down. Just temporarily he got attached to a deer. So this was all a learning for us, that how we should be very careful and we should not be independent. We should associate with devotees, otherwise such a thing can happen with us. Okay. Any more questions? So we'll end here. Thank you very much. Hare
Krishna. His grace Gokuleshwar Prabhuji ki.
Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, Prabhuji Nataji, thank you very much for coming. And I apologize to Gokuleshwar Prabhuji for not introducing him before we start the lecture.
Sure.
The reason why I did not do was